Welcome to the Amateur Mill Society, a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age. We're your hosts, Sinead and Rosie, and we are just trying. Join us on a journey from positive pregnancy tests through to school and beyond as we try to untangle all those complicated thoughts and feelings that come when you decide to push a baby out of your vagina. Other birthing methods are available. We are average, non-famous mums who live average, non-famous lives. But if we get famous, we're not complaining, and I guess we'll just continue to periodically reinvent ourselves like Taylor Swift.
Who? Who's that? Never heard of him.
She is the queen of reinvention, and I know that we both have differing opinions on Taylor Swift.
What's your opinion on Taylor Swift?
My opinion on Taylor Swift is she is like the McDonald's of music. You know she's bad for you, but you just can't stop.
I do like a nug. I think my problem with Taylor Swift is that I just find her and her music incredibly fucking boring. And I apologise. I know, I get it. But the whole thing about reinvention has nothing to do with Taylor's music at all, in my opinion, on her. It's more to do with what we're doing currently, right? The Taylor Swift anecdote has nothing to do with Taylor Swift's music. It's more about what we're in the midst of, right?
Yeah, which is reinvention and relaunching ourselves. We've been in, as we said before, kind of a period of cocooning ourselves,
hibernation.
Metamorphosis.
Yeah, it's been quite a lot of hibernating though, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've been off the airwaves for quite a while now.
But do you know what, actually, for people that we've spoke to, of which there have been many, and we will discuss these wonderful people, like people that kind of recognise us and have listened to the podcast, none of them seem to have noticed that we've just
disappeared.
And I think actually I don't think we gave ourselves enough credit for how much we recorded last year.
Yeah,
I think quite a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are still kind of working their way through the back catalogue.
Because we're great big yappers.
Yeah, which is good. Like, that's really nice. But I think, you know what, I've really missed doing this.
Yeah, me too.
Like, really, more than I kind of realised, missed making podcasts.
It's our therapy, isn't it?
Definitely.
Way cheaper than therapy and makes me feel really good.
And maybe not as effective.
Maybe not as effective, but it might be effective in the sense that, like, I mean, I think I've just had a really good idea for a TV show.
Again.
Because I was just thinking, right, we are basically giving ourselves a therapy session by recording this podcast. Again, much cheaper than therapy. You say not as effective, but maybe more effective for other people because they get to listen to it.
Yeah.
And it might help other people. Here's my pitch to you, head of the BBC.
Okay, yeah.
A show where people's therapy sessions are like recorded and then you get to watch them.
I think that's a deep violation of doctor-patient confidentiality.
They know about it. So it's like, it's basically like they know that they go into a therapy session. They know it's going to be recorded and then shown to the rest of the world. But you could do it in a kind of like MasterChef thing where they have like a panel of judges.
Whose therapist is the best?
And then they sort of unpick the therapy session and then you as the watcher can watch it and you can take up, you know, you
oh,
can take
pick up some tips.
Yeah,
that's a good idea actually.
Oh, she seems deeply traumatised in that area of her life just like me. Maybe I should try this. Oh, this therapist seems to think CBT might work for me. Maybe I'll go out and do that.
Yeah. You know what? That's not a bad idea. It's not a half bad idea.
It's not an awful idea.
Would you like to give me your week in a sentence?
Yeah, I would like to give you my week in a sentence. Okay, my week in a sentence is this. Nothing says no to charity than a mum leaving her front door with a pushchair at 3 p.m. I'm going to give you a bit of context, Sinead. Picture the scene. It's 3 p.m.
Yeah.
You've got your small child with you in a pushchair, which is quite hard to get out of your house because your front door is on like a doorstep with like a little kind of porch area.
Yeah.
And she has refused to get in said pushchair for the last 10 minutes and refused to put her shoes on. She's kicked off enormously about it. As you're about to open the door, And you know how hard it is to take a pushchair out of a door, right? It's like, it's carnage. Mm-hmm. Every time that pushchair comes out of your door frame, it's like getting more battered as the days go by. Because you're literally just flinging it out of the door. Imagine that just as you're about to open that door, literally you've got your hand on the handle, there's a knock on the door. Imagine also that you've got a very mentally unwell Romanian street dog that is then barking and wanting to rip the head off the person that's knocking on the door.
Great.
So then you have to like climb over the pushchair, push the dog away, close the door so the dog can't eat the person at the door.
Yeah.
You answer the door.
Yeah.
And it is two men trying to get you to give money to blind people. And imagine, Sinead, that you are currently furious with life. And it is the moment, like, you've got a 5-minute window to get to your school.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to get in that queue to pick your other kid up. Your kid's been kicking off about getting in the pushchair, right? And the charity men's sort of opening gambit is, hey, just wondering, have you got a few seconds?
Do you care about the blind?
Hey, that's essentially what he was saying. He was like, hey, just wondering if you've got a few minutes. No, I do not have a few minutes. I've got to go to school. We'll be really, really quick. I don't think you understand. Can you assess the situation with your eyes? Yes, you are not blind. Please, like, look at what's going on here. This is really the worst possible time that you could have knocked on my door. Literally the worst possible time. And he decided that that would be a good time to try and compliment me on my tattoos. Did not work.
Usually it would, though.
Usually I'd be like, yeah, let's talk about tattoos. But he was like, oh, you've got great tattoos. I was like, really? Now is not the time. It is now 11 minutes past 3. I should be at the bottom of the road by now. And I'm not. And he said, he even said, can we come back? And I was like, dude, look at me. Look at this street. So also for context, my road is the road next to the school. So it gets really, really busy. It is like double parked with cars.
Yeah.
And the school that I pick Ramona up from is like next to my street. And at the other end of my street is the gate to the massive Wigston Academy, which is like loads and loads and loads of kids. So all of the kids from ages 11 to 18 are walking down my road. All of the parents who are picking up their kids from the primary school are parked on my road. And I'm leaving my house at the time that all of that's happening. And that is the time they decide to knock on my door. And I was like, just look at this street. Does this look like a good time to you?
The thing about the charity people that come and knock on your door, right? Does that actually work? I don't know anyone who will even open their door to people that they don't know.
Oh, mate, the only reason I opened my door is because I had to leave my house. The only reason is that I was like, I mean, you can knock on the door all you want, but I am going straight up this driveway and going down the road. Yeah, I don't know.
It seems to me to be a completely obsolete practice. Because people nowadays, if they want to give money to good causes, they go on the internet and find a GoFundMe.
Yeah, and I think, like, I can understand why people sign up for the one where you're stopped in the street, because I think you're a bit more malleable.
Yeah.
You're more vulnerable when you're walking up a street, and if you are just ambling along and a charity person gets you, you're more likely to think about it. But when they come to your house,
yeah,
you're just like, go away.
Yeah, or just don't open the door.
Yeah, most unless people have ring doorbells, right?
Yeah, unless I am expecting a parcel, because we use the back door.
Yeah.
Double entendre, not intended. We use the back door. Our front porch is just a cupboard.
Yeah, it's just storage.
I have lived in this house for nearly 25 years, and I've never walked in through the front door.
No, no one's giving charity to your cupboard front door.
No.
It's just not happening.
So we will just ignore it.
Yeah.
Unless we know that there's someone is coming that, you know, maybe hasn't been to the house before.
They might knock on the front door.
They might knock on the front door.
Yeah.
But, like, they're things that we know are happening, or like a delivery or something, or the postman. Although one of the postmen keeps putting posts through the garage door now, because my dad got a scrap front door.
Yeah, you've got so many doors.
Off a building site that he installed into the middle of our house.
Sinead's dad's just stuck a door to the wall. The secret front doors all around Sinead's house. It's just to kind of like make it really difficult for burglars to know which way to come in.
Yeah.
It's like a maze. If they did come through the front door, they get stuck in a cupboard. If they come through the fake front door, they end up in the garage. If they come through the side door, they get like a disease off your dog. Like, there's just no way anyone's getting into your house.
No. To be fair, when I was at school, one of the lads that I went to school with that would come around here quite often was completely blown away by the fact that, like, my downstairs, you can kind of lap it in a circle.
Mm.
Like, you can go through each door to, like, bring you into the other rooms.
I think that's fairly normal.
I think it's quite normal, but he was just like, I could just run around your house in circles. And I was like,
yes,
that would be really weird.
Are you Victorian? I think he's been brought up in, like, a Victorian terrace, where it's just like a line.
A line of rooms.
A line of rooms. You can't... Oh, mate, yeah, terrace houses. I was just thinking then about the whole charity thing, in that you must have to be so hardy. The amount of times you must have, like, especially if you're coming to my house, every single time anyone comes to our house that we don't know, that's, like, charity, trying to sell something, whatever.
Jehovah's Witness.
They just get, like, a really flustered, stressed out person, surrounded by really aggressive barking and children screaming.
Yeah.
And you're just sort of going, sorry, now's really not the time. And for them to have the audacity to go, it will just take a second. And I have done it before where I think I did it with, like, a fencing man. You know when people try and sell you fences? Not fencing.
Sorry, I thought you meant, like, white suit, like, weird beekeeper thing.
As soon as you made that face, I thought, she thinks I'm in fencing, as in the sport. No. I mean, Why
is that my mind went first?
Why would someone who competes in fencing come round to residential streets and ask if we want to get involved? That's insane. No, I mean, like, you know, like drain pipes, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who came round, I think he was quite young, and he asked me if I was the homeowner. And it really annoys me when people ask me that, because I just think, excuse me? I mean, I don't pay the mortgage. Dave pays the mortgage. But, like, how dare you? Anyway, I think he just got me on a bad day, and it was, like, screaming children, barking dogs, and he's like, I'll just take a minute of your time. And I went, does it seem like I have a minute? I was like, this is really not a good time. And it's like, it's just that over and over again. And I'm just staring at this guy being like, I don't need a new fence right now. If you were coming to promote a spa day that's, like, relatively well priced.
If you were coming to give me £1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
If the postcode lottery person, I'd open the door to them.
If you've got someone's knocking at your door playing on a beatboxer and a vaguely, like, C-list celebrity with you, sure, I might keep the door open. But currently, now is not the time.
No.
Now is not the time. But more to the point, I tell you when is not the time, at 3:09. On a weekday afternoon.
No, absolutely
when
not.
And he watched me, by the way, he watched me struggle to get the pushchair out of my door. He had to step out of my way while he's still trying to say, I'll just take a few minutes of your time. And I'm going, you really won't. Unless you're following me to school and you want to tell me what the deal is as we walk. And then get to the, what, you're going to come through the gates with me? You're going to tell the rest of the people in the queue waiting for their kids? Not going to happen. Don't watch me struggle to take my kid. Like... I understand why there's a charity for blind people. I get it. But just pick your times.
Yeah. Also, if I wanted to donate money to blind people, very worthy cause, by the way. We're not asking people to deprive the blind of money.
No, I'm just saying, choose your time.
Yeah, but, like, if I wanted to donate money to blind people, I can do that on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't need you to come to my house
and make me angry
on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Like, I just don't need, I don't, it's just not, think it through.
Yeah.
Think it through, guys.
And I don't think that the people that, like, mug you in the street to give money to charity, I don't like that either. That gives me sinister vibes.
No, I don't like it. Do you know one joy I've had quite recently is when you have someone come to the door to sell you something and you're already a part of it? That.
Already got it.
Oh, that is the chef's kiss of being... Cold called at your house?
Knocked?
Cold knocked. That sounds weird. But we use the Modern Milkman, which is like the app where you get an actual milkman bring you milk, and they did the rounds quite recently. And it wasn't me, it was Dave, but just the pure joy on his
face. Secondhand smugness.
To be like, hey, I'm just here to talk to you about milk. Sorry, are you from the Modern Milkman? Already with you, mate.
Shut the door.
We get milk 3 times a week from you guys.
And thrice a week.
Thrice a week. And let me tell you, we're very happy with your service. Thank you very much. Good day. Good day. And then he gave Dave like a
dramatic
discount.
Victorian bow.
Yeah, tipped his hat. He had a top hat on at the time. He gave him a discount code because we were already members.
Oh.
And we were like, thank you very much, good sir. Good day to you. Anyway,
would
what's
you
your
like
week
to hear my week in a sentence?
Sorry, that went on for so long. What's your week in a sentence?
I have never been prouder to be an Adidas Gazelle girl over a Samba girl after I saw Rishi Sunak cosplaying as a man of the people by wearing a pair of Sambas.
Oh, really?
Now, that is a shoe that is dead in the sartorial water now. Anyone that's wearing a Samba, you just know that they know that Rishi Sunak has the same shoes as
I've got them. I'm going to have to break some very sad news now to my dad, because my dad wears Sambas. and the thought, like, I know, and this is what makes me feel quite proud to be a Johnson, is that I know that that will deeply hurt him to know he's been wearing the same shoes as Rishi Sunak. But the thing is, that's the problem, isn't it? It's like, my dad's allowed to wear Sambas because he's a working class man. You know, not pretending.
Yeah.
And Rishi Sunak. So you're talking about where he got off a train. Oh, I just use public transport. Public transport, is that Rishi? Or did your party actually
gut the service?
Privatise that. Do you know how much Dave's company have paid for him to get a train to London for one day?
£214?
You're joking.
That's just for him to go from our house. Not our house. They're not picking it. The train isn't picking us up because it's a privatised company that does not do that sort of thing anymore. No, so he's getting a train from here to London and back again on like a Wednesday.
It'll be peak times then.
Peak time. Yeah, it is peak times, but over £200.
That's insane. That's absolutely ridiculous. My friend Eilish, she is on holiday in Cornwall at the minute, and
lovely.
There was some family issues going on, so she was debating whether to come up to Leicester to kind of see what was going on.
Yeah.
Guess how much the train from Cornwall to Leicester...
Oh, I can't even imagine.
One way was going to cost.
Tell me.
£429.
Jesus Christ.
You know how much it would cost to fly from Newquay to East Midlands via Dublin Airport, and it only takes about half an hour longer.
Mm.
125.
Oh my God. It's really funny, isn't it? This is how disillusioned the Tories are. Because, like, this conversation is proof of that. Because his PR team have tried to make a statement about Rishi Sunak being a man of the people by getting him to get off a train wearing a hoodie and Adidas Sambas.
Mm.
As if that is some kind of statement about like how understanding he is of what it is to be normal.
And the PR person's been like, and Rishi, make sure that you mention that you've had Nando's twice this week.
Oh yeah, because that is, again, proof, right? So, disillusion number one.
Nando's is fucking expensive.
Nando's twice a week. None of us can afford Nando's twice a week.
None of us can afford Nando's twice a month.
Yeah. So, oh, man of the people has Nando's twice a week. First of all.
You need to be a billionaire to do that.
Second one, I'll get off a train. A train that could cost me to get from Cornwall to Leicester £400.
Insane. Like, it's actual insanity.
I think this would be a good time to say that we are going to do a big old Jenny Leck episode, aren't we?
We are, yes.
We're going to do a Jenny Leck episode because we are political girls, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we
hot
do
chicks
care.
Talk politics.
We are hot chicks at talk politics. Sorry, I'm riddled with hay fever. So we will talk more about that. But let's just mention very quickly the beginning of this. Sambas versus Gazelles. Do you think, I want you to answer this very honestly, Sinead,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that Rishi Sunak owned that pair of Sambas, or do you think they were bought for him specifically for that event?
I think they were bought for him.
I would love to see the condition.
They were very clearly like
box fresh. In fact, they were probably like limited edition ones that cost hundreds of pounds or something.
No, they were the ones that everyone has. You know, the white and grey colourway with the black stripe.
Of course.
They were those ones that everybody has.
Yeah.
Every clean girl in London owns a pair.
Owns a pair.
But I've always enjoyed gazelles more. I like a gazelle, I like a spezial.
Yeah, I'm a gazelle girl.
I like the 100%. Bright colourways.
Yeah.
I think Sambas just look a bit too... I mean, I have seen some really cute colourways of Sambas, but I just think they're too low profile. They're really low to the ground.
I think both of us are quite similar in our... I love this segue from politics to...
Adidas trainers.
Trainer aesthetic. I think we both like a wide-looking shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a massive fan of a wide shoe. I think I look a bit weird. I've got two pairs of gazelles, both of which, Rishi, if you're listening, were from Vinted and cost less than £10. So if you want to be a man of the people, get yourself some fucking secondhand trainers. I'm so angry. And one of the pairs of gazelles I've got, they're so thin looking that they make me look like a little gremlin. And so I think what I like about your standard gazelle is that they are wide fitting. And I just think they make your feet look nicer.
The gazelles that I have are, and I've had gazelles, like the normal type gazelles before. I've had black ones and I've had like the navy ones. And the ones that I currently have are the green and pink with the platform sole.
So good.
Which I love. They're so comfortable.
Yeah.
They're green and pink, so of course they go with everything.
Such a joy.
And they're just like, they're a really happy trainer to wear.
Yeah. They're a happy trainer. I'm so glad he didn't wear gazelles, because then we'd be really sad.
If he'd worn gazelles, I would have had to throw my gazelles through the window of 10 Downing Street.
Yeah, I would have had to do some real damage with my gazelles if he was wearing them. So it's actually worked in our favour that he's wearing Sambas.
We're safe in the knowledge that Rishi Sunak doesn't possess a pair of gazelles.
I mean, he might do. Oh, hang on. Let me do something very funny now.
Okay.
Let me do a very funny pun. I'm sure Rishi Sunak does own a pair of gazelles, probably live ones that live in his massive garden. That was funny, wasn't it?
Very funny.
Lovely bit of business that was.
I wouldn't even be surprised if every single time Rishi Sunak wears, like, his trainers for him are disposable.
Yeah.
Because he's so rich.
Yeah. Man of the people, Rishi Sunak, wearing his one-day Sambas. Like, they're a one-day Samba. They're going in the bin. I would argue that he definitely does that, looking at his kind of track record on his policies for the environment. Ugh, he ain't no, like, hashtag slow fashion.
No.
No way. No hashtag sustainable fashion from Rishi.
Mm-mm.
He's wearing them Sambas from the pretend train that he got off, where he got a very affordable open return. And then got into his fancy car, slung his Sambas out the window, straight into the heap that's being sent to another country.
Yeah.
And then big cross over any policy that makes our world a better place to live in for the future. Honestly. Should we stop talking about politics? Because we'll cover it. And I'm getting quite flustered, actually. Let's talk about what we're supposed to talk about.
So, shall we... Obviously, we've not podcasted for a while. You might be able to tell, because we seem to have, like, verbal diarrhea today.
This was supposed to be, hey, let's do a relaunch episode where we relaunch our podcast, and we have
and
so
let's
far...
definitely keep the time to under an hour. We're on 24 minutes.
And we've spoken about trainers at great length, people knocking on your door at great length. Did you see that getting off a train at great length?
Yeah, so shall we tell people where we've been?
Yeah, we have been in the desert. No, we haven't been in the desert, have we?
We've been in hibernation mode.
Mm. We've been like... What was that?
Mum moving things in her wardrobe.
Okay. Okay, so for the record, if this bit does get kept in, I want it to be known that if I react to any slight sound, it's because I'm generally quite on edge. Because I've been obsessively listening to the Uncanny podcast, so any kind of slight sound that I hear in another person's house, I'm like, well, Chances are, based on this podcast I've been listening to, chances are it's probably a poltergeist.
Definitely and ghosts.
And you're like, no, it's just my mum moving things. Yeah, but have you considered? Your house could be haunted. I'm obsessed with uncanny. Anyway, yes, we have been hibernating, but things have been brewing, haven't they?
Yeah, we got to a point where we were like, we saw like a bigger vision for the podcast, and we were like, instead of just like putting out stuff that, you know, we weren't happy with what we were doing before, but we were like, let's give ourselves a bit of time to regroup and think about what we actually want this podcast to be and to like mean for us and our community moving forward.
What could it do?
What could it do? How could it benefit people?
Yes.
And then we started working with the lovely, incomparable Connie from Take On Media.
Yeah, I didn't know. Honestly, when you said in then, I was like, don't you dare say incompetent. But then you said incomparable. What does that mean?
Just like the best.
I've never heard that word before. Incomparable.
She's incomparable to other people.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, agreed. That word.
Yeah. We've been working with her. She's been giving us loads of like tips, and we're lovely resident art bitch Rosie is working on like new logos and new kind of a new look.
New visuals. We wanted to change the logo because the logo isn't a picture of us, and we realized that most successful podcasters just have pictures of them, so we're reworking that, aren't we? Because we need more of our faces plastered everywhere if we want to be like really famous.
Soon.
Ramona did ask me when I was working on our logo, because it is photos of us. Ramona said to me, Mummy, are you and Sinead famous?
That's so cute. Yeah.
How cute is that? And I was like, not yet, babe.
I think the girls actually thought we were famous when we were in town and we got stopped by the people with the microphones.
Oh yeah,
big shout out, by the way. They're a charity called Freedom for Girls that like raises awareness and money to combat period poverty. They stopped us in the street in Leicester completely by chance and asked if we had a second to talk about period poverty, and I think we said some quite clever things.
They stopped us and said, do you have a second to talk to us about period poverty? And me and Sinead went, you have stopped the right people. We have got a lot to say about it. I hope you're happy.
Yeah. And then, so we were talking a little bit. All three of the children were like climbing on Rosie.
Well, Darcy refused to let go of my hand. Lola wanted picking up. Ramona was just staring at the microphone. And so I had all three of them on me and they're asking us about, and I'm like, this right here, period poverty. I mean, look at the state of us. Yeah, so we did answer the questions quite well, didn't we, I think.
And then Darcy, God love her, you'd think she's been trained. I promise she hasn't.
Well, didn't they ask us if we were okay speaking in a microphone?
Yeah.
And then Darcy said,
they've got a podcast. It's about us.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. And they were like, wow. And we had to promise them that we didn't prompt Darcy to say that. So that was great. We did that. What was the point of that?
The kids thought then that we were famous because we've been stopped in the street by people with microphones.
And Ramona sees me editing professional photos of us. Yeah. So Connie took loads of really beautiful professional photos of us and videos that we're using for content. So she's helping us with content. But one of the things that happened over that time is we sort of worked with Connie and Take On Media with sort of using our brand and how we use our content to sort of promote what we're doing. And then at the same time, we'd been doing a bit of work with Dan, our good friend Dan, who is a fantastic comedian, very, very funny, and also does a stellar impression of Keir Starmer. so good. But he sort of like encouraged us a bit in the idea of thinking about sort of franchising almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there'll be more information on that to come.
There will be more information on that. So yeah, basically we've been hibernating because we've had loads of ideas and also people helping us with our ideas.
Yeah.
And how we might expand on those ideas.
And I think we just needed a little bit of time to take away and really like brew on all the ideas that we were having and kind of figure out what the best directions to go down. And like, we haven't figured it all out.
No. Of course not. Look at us.
But we've definitely had like, I think, some time away to kind of focus on what the what the heart and soul of the podcast is and why we're doing it, I think that has really benefited us.
Yeah.
And we've got loads of really exciting ideas, really loads of really exciting plans moving forward, that we're really excited to share with people.
And one of the things, I mean, I don't think we should divulge too much because we'd really like to encourage people to come to our show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing another live show on the 22nd of June, which is, what, 3 days from now?
Yes.
Yeah? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days. So you, I mean, at this point, hopefully you won't be able to get a ticket because it'll be so ram-packed
so sold out.
The tickets are free, but you still have to book a ticket through Fatsoma. You can find the links in our bio. But it's a live show, live comedy show, where we're trying to bring parents and parent-adjacent people together to talk about community and fun stuff.
Yeah.
So I think we'll expand more on our ideas at that show. So we should really encourage people to come to that if they want to know more, right?
Yes. I would definitely recommend booking a free...
Yes.
Ticket to
completely
our show.
Free. This is something we've had to try and explain to people, isn't it? Because they are free, but the only reason you have to book a ticket is so we can keep an eye on numbers.
Yeah, because we're kind of limited.
You don't pay a penny to anybody at any point. You just put your details in and they send you an email, right? That's what you have to do. There's no money involved. It's just so that, like, we don't have to sort of pay for bouncers on the day.
Yeah.
Sort of stop the hordes of people trying to get in when it's already full. That sort of thing. Right.
Yeah, so we've called it the MILF Meetup, and the idea behind it was to kind of get like-minded parents in a room together, because we kind of really recognise and acknowledge that we got lucky in our friendship group. Like, we have the most amazing group of mums and, like, the dads as well. They're all right.
They'll do.
I don't mind when they come to the functions.
Like,
but we've got a really amazing group of people that we've hung out with consistently for like 6 years now, and we're not bored of them. We always have like a great time every time we all hang out together, and we're really conscious of the fact that a lot of people don't get that lucky. The only reason we got that lucky was because I ended up stumbling into the NCT class, and you happened to be friends with Beth. Like, that's the only reason why we're in the situation we're in now. And if we can introduce more cool people to each other and create more of those, like, long-lasting friendships and bonds, the more, like, community building and stuff that we can do, the better. Because I think everyone deserves to have a group of friends as great as ours.
It's just essentially not... Essentially, we're franchising our friendship group. And the reason we're doing that is because I think, from our experience speaking to other parents, is that most parents, or new parents especially, will kind of stumble into some kind of like baby friendship group, and actually it isn't a friendship group because none of them feel validated, and they'll feel judged in a certain way. And we want to make it clear to people and make it easy for people to know that there are other like-minded people out there.
Yeah.
And have a friendship group where you do feel validated and you don't feel judged and you can speak honestly about how you're feeling. I think most new parents, I'd say 90% of them, including myself, have been in a position where they have felt like unsafe, or not like they've felt really vulnerable in a group of people that you think are like-minded.
Mm.
And when that happens, you then start to question yourself.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to create, or what we were trying to create with the podcast to begin with, but now we're going to completely branch out and try and do it like on a much bigger scale, is to make sure that less people feel like that, right?
Yeah, like that's the end goal of everything.
Yeah.
That I think when we first started making the podcast, our initial goals were, one, to just talk.
Yes.
Like have an excuse to just talk at each other and air out every single thing that we were thinking and feeling.
Yeah.
And then for me, at least, and I don't know if you agree, was to make other parents feel validated and seen and heard.
Yeah.
And just try and make people, if we can make even one person not feel like they're alone in it, I think we've done our job. And I know full well that we've had that effect on multiple people have messaged into the podcast and told us how much they appreciate us talking about like various different subjects, like on things that they've struggled with in their parenting. And we just want to do more of that, make more people feel validated.
I think the story arc actually makes a lot of sense when we break it down. I've not really thought about it like this until right now. The beginning part when we did the podcast was for people to listen to us yapping and go, oh, thank fuck it's not just me.
Yeah.
And feel validated by listening to us. And so it makes total sense naturally for us to go, okay, now you've listened to us and you feel validated listening to us chatting shit, let's now bring all of those people who feel like that together so that they can actually hang out in real life together.
Yeah.
That's essentially, it makes sense for that to be the next step, to go from listening to a podcast where you feel like, oh God, I thought I was on my own thinking this, to now you're not just listening to people, you can actually meet people as well.
Yeah.
And potentially be friends with them. So that does make, it makes, wow. Not really thought about it like that until I've just said it right now. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that was
so great. That's basically what we're going to do.
Yeah, that is the aim. And we've also, whilst we've been kind of in hibernation, we've started MILF Monday, which is something we've been really enjoying doing, isn't it?
Yes.
So MILF Monday essentially is when we do a live on a Monday evening and we talk about...
Talk more shit?
Absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
So we pick a topic. Our first one was about art.
Yeah, that
really
was great.
Enjoyed that chat.
Yeah.
And for us... Again, it's just an excuse to yap, but it's showing people that you're not just a parent, you're also a person. You're allowed to have your own interests, you're allowed to have your own hobbies, passions. Not everything has to be, and not everything should be about your kids.
One thing that I took from us doing MILF Mondays, and I think we need to think of a really juicy topic for the next one, don't we?
Like, yeah.
Because the art one was a really good example. I think that's what made us realise we should continue with that. Is we just yapped away about art, right? And even though my job is art, the amount of people that said to us, like, oh, wow, you guys are really knowledgeable about art.
Yeah, because I was like, I know nothing about art. I'm not an arty person.
Yapped for over an hour about art.
And then Rosie was like, actually, you really do know quite a lot about art.
But that for me was the proof, because it was like people were saying, God, you guys know so much about art, which proves that when mothers, especially, are kind of looked at in a general term, we're seen as just mothers, even though my job is artist. Literally, my job is artist, and people are like, oh, wow, you guys know so much about art. Yes, of course we fucking do. Because we don't just, like, do the laundry and play
cook
with our children.
Dinners.
Like, there's more about us and we care about lots of other things.
Mm.
And so, again, that's another way of trying to encourage parents to just, like, think about themselves with a bit more, like, give yourselves a bit more credit.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have opinions on paintings, whether you're an artist or not. That was very clear. Like, you've got very distinct views on art that you like and don't like. All of which are valid, but most importantly, it's like you don't have to be an artist to care about art. You don't have to be a politician to care about politics. You don't, you know, and also if you're a mum as well, you're still allowed to have all of those views and think about stuff.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's kind of goes back to when you have kids, kind of feeling like you've lost your identity a little bit.
Yeah.
And
big time.
Even if we carry on doing MILF Mondays and discussing whatever kind of topic comes to mind at the time, the hope is that people will kind of see that and realise, like, oh no, I actually am allowed to really care about plants
or the
Met Gala, you know?
I think having... MILF Mondays is basically a kind of,
MILF Mondays is our journaling space.
Yeah, but I think what, for people on the outside looking in, it's more of a, oh, these are the guys that talk about their kids, they're the parenting podcast, and then they click, maybe they just out of interest click on MILF Mondays and go, oh, they're talking about the Met Gala, why are they talking about the Met Gala? Because we're not just parents, we're humans.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to kind of show other people as well. And again, that stems from that really safe space of our friendship group, our parenting friendship group, where we can meet up and we can complain about our kids or talk about breastfeeding or like how well our kids are eating or sleeping. But on the other side of that is we can have like adult conversations about things we care about.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's fine. That should be normalised a bit more, I think.
Yeah.
It's not normalised to sort of, you have this idea of like a mum meetup, right? A mum meetup is a load of mums holding their babies, talking about how lovely their tops of their heads smell. It's not just that.
Yeah.
We're also discussing Rishi Sunak getting off a train wearing Sambas, right? Like.
Yeah, and just talking about men that we think are fit.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
quite a lot of what me and Rosie talk about
just
in our WhatsApp.
Just degrading men.
Yeah. Objectifying men.
That sort of thing. I think that's totally normal. Okay, guys, let's normalise objectifying men a bit more, can we please? Yeah. So that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, and I think, shall we talk a bit about our kids?
Oh, yeah. I suppose we could.
Have you had any parenting developments recently?
No, I would just like to say, for the people that listen to the podcast often and know about our personal feelings towards our children, for those that have listened to us from the beginning, I just want it to be known that Lola, the local psychopath, is like 10 times worse than she was before our hibernation. Like, her psychopath sort of
tendencies
are just getting worse by the day. You know this, Sinead, I've told you about this quite often, but she's just got into a real habit of, like, if you slight her in any possible way, even if you're telling her not to do something for her own safety, like, don't, like, please don't touch that door, Lola. About 10 minutes ago you trapped your finger in that door and you really, really got upset about it, so maybe don't touch that door. If you raise your voice ever so, like, and when I say raise my voice, I mean like
a single decibel,
and also not in like anger, just in kind of like, oh, don't do that, like, oh, worry, you know, when you raise your voice because you're worried, or you don't, it's like alarm.
Yeah.
She takes that very personally and she gets very angry. She'll either, if she's not holding something, now she'll be like, fine then, I'm not going to be your friend, fine then. She does this quite a lot. It's the fine then, and then stomps off. Fine then, I'm not going to do it. Fine then, I'm just going to go upstairs. That. Or if she's holding something, she'll say, I'm going to throw it, and then just throws it. Launches it across the room. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be food, it could be a toy, it could be anything. If you say anything that she takes as an insult, even if you're trying to save her life, fine then, I'm going to throw it, and throws it. So at the minute, that's about all I can give you, because that's quite all consuming. Ramona's been great. What's Ramona been up to? She did a dance show, she was really good. What else? I don't know, we had half term, didn't we? What did we do in half term? I mean,
we hung out in half term.
Oh yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah.
And that was an experience.
That was an experience. That was chaotic.
I mean, Darcy was a pain in the arse over half term, because the day after we met up with you and your girls, mm-hmm. and Darcy was being a pain, I hung out with my friend Louise and her girls, and Darcy and her girls usually get on like a house on fire. They're good as gold.
Yeah.
They have a great time. For some reason, on this particular day, individually, they were all awful.
Yeah.
Collectively, they were worse.
More awful. You assume that when you meet up with friends, it's going to be easier because they're going to look after each other. And then when that doesn't happen, it is
the worst thing.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
So exhausting.
It pushed me and Louise to going into St. Martin's Coffee at midday and ordering a beer. They only had one cold Corona.
What did you do?
One of us had the cold one, the other one had the warm one.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, God. As if. This is really funny, right? Because we met on the Tuesday, was it?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that happened on Tuesday is we went into St. Martin's Coffee.
Yeah.
And immediately Lola spilt an entire ice cream milkshake on herself and the table and surrounding area. It was carnage.
Look, within 3 seconds of me and Darcy showing up.
And the guy, I think the guy came over and went, oh, do you need a tissue? And I was like, are you sick? I need like a power hose. Like, what are you talking about?
I need a jet wash.
Are you serious? She's covered in ice cream. I had to take her dress off, wash it in the toilets, and then stand under the dryer for about half an hour while you just sort of looked after her, and she looked very sad.
Yeah, well, she was like scared of her milkshake, so I had to hold it for her. I had to like wipe milkshake out of her hair.
Oh, it was awful. We were mopping up milkshake with the menus.
The children were like crawling all over the floor.
So they were under the table for most of the time that we were in there after we'd cleaned up the ice cream. So then was it the next day you met up with Louise?
Yeah, they must have seen me coming.
And you went to St. Martin's. On Friday, I took Ramona and her friend into town for the day. And the first thing that we did was went to St. Martin's. So maybe we should make a public apology to St. Martin's Coffee in Leicester city centre.
For causing havoc, chaos and destruction on your premises.
For 80% of the week. We love your coffee, we love your establishment, we think you're one of the best places in Leicester. Please, can we still come?
Yeah, please don't bar us.
Please, I'm so sorry. In fact, when we went on Friday, because it was just Ramona and her friend, they were really good and they sat really nicely and ate their brownie. They didn't cause any havoc, they didn't raise their voice, there was nothing launched across the floor, there was no ice cream on dresses or in hair. It was really lovely. So we can do it if we try really, really, really hard. And if we don't bring Lola with us, I think essentially that's the key. We just won't bring Lola next time. What else? What else?
Been to Riverside Festival, haven't we?
Oh, we did Riverside. That was epic.
That was a great weekend.
That was epic. I would like to say at this point, actually, because I didn't tell you about this bit, Riverside was really good. It was an amazing festival. It's a really good thing for Leicester. It just like, it's a really lovely kind of fuck you to anyone who thinks that the UK somehow has like a kind of multicultural problem.
Yeah.
Like, Riverside is the proof that we, like,
we can all get on.
We can all get on. It doesn't matter where
even
you're from,
the goths.
Who you are, even the goths. And it's like 30 degrees. Great. A wonderful, wonderful weekend. I had a stall. We gave out lots of flyers about the meetup. We spoke to loads of people about the podcast. So if you're new listeners from meeting us at Riverside, then thank you.
And welcome.
As you've probably noticed already, we yap just as much as we do
behind, in person.
Yeah, under a gazebo, behind a table. But there is a downside to this, Sinead.
What?
And that is that whoever was employed to be on the end of Western Boulevard,
oh my god,
cars in and out of the street that we had our stall. Bear in mind, it's a 2-day festival. Mm-hmm. So on the first day, it was quite clear to the person in charge of that area that it made sense to let Dave's car in so that I could pack up and go.
Yeah.
On the Sunday, however, the man who was in charge simply refused.
Yeah.
So me and Dave had to carry everything from Western Boulevard all the way to the Tesco, bit by bit.
That's...
And then he was like...
Poor Dave having to carry them sandbags.
I know. The man was like, I can't let anyone until I get the word. And we were like, we're literally just there. We're just going to pack up our stuff and go. And he's like, you can't go anywhere. And you can't park on the double yellows because the traffic wardens everywhere. Great. Wonderful. Thanks for that. Then he let one van in, which was the guy selling food opposite us.
Yeah.
And then wouldn't let anyone else in. So then there was a queue of cars. And this is at about 7 o'clock.
Yeah, because I think this is what was happening, because I went with Skye, and her big shout out to Skye, by the way. She's wonderful.
Everything.
We love her.
We like Skye, so we should plug her nails. Plug her nails?
We should plug her nails.
She does nails.
She does nails.
I don't ask me to talk about nails. I don't get my nails done. You explain it.
She is wonderful. She can take a brief and run with it.
We're talking like fingernails.
Yes.
Right, just in case anyone wondered.
Not like hammer nails. And she also makes wonderful candles.
So her nail company is Hallowed Be Thy Nails.
And her candles are Gross Candles.
Gross Candles.
Both She's wonderful.
They're amazing. Incredible. Love everything. Love, 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 love.
Love her. Big love to Skye. And she listens to the pod. She listens to the podcast as well.
She's great. But we had problems too.
Yeah, so we took her. She lives near me. She was like, I'll drop you home. I was like, thank you very much. I'll help you carry this table to your car. Took it, put it in the car. We've gone to drive out of the car park. And the man's like, no, you can't go. You have to just wait there until I tell you you can move. We were sat there for about half an hour before he let us drive. I was like, I'm being held prisoner.
Well, this is because she tried to leave, didn't she, before earlier, and they were like, you can't leave. And I was like, I don't care if you're the council. That, to me, seems like an infringement on my human rights. Like, what if there was like a family emergency?
Yeah.
Like, what if something awful had happened? She's like, I need to get my car out of this car park and I need to go to a hospital or something. No, sorry, you can't leave. There's a festival on. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's insane.
It was a really well-organised festival. It was an absolute hit for everyone. It was fantastic. Everyone had a great time. All of the staff that were working there were brilliant. But whoever you've got in charge of, like, road blockades, they, like...
Whoever's running the barricades.
Like, sort yourselves out. Because you can't just, like, it's that gatekeeping shit. Oh, I've been told this, so I'm not going to let... All of that bollocks.
Mm.
Like, what? Think it through. Just be a bit smarter about it. And work out the situation and realise that actually you're actually doing more harm than good.
Yes.
It really angered me. I got, like, me and Dave's arms were dead. I carried the gazebo.
Yeah.
Single-handedly, 10 minutes up the road to get in the car because this one man wouldn't let us through. Like, honestly. Anyway.
Shall I tell people where they might be able to see either you or us? Again, over the summer?
Okay, so when's this going out? I'm going to be at Leicester Food Festival on the 10th and 11th of August.
And I think I'll be there with you.
You should, you might as well, because essentially it'd be like a free ticket in, mate. Have you heard who's playing?
No.
The pretend Coldplay, the pretend Ed Sheeran are playing.
Great.
And I can safely say I'm quite happy I'll have a market stall so that I don't have to attend those two sections.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's loads of like bands and stuff on, but that's at Abbey Park in Leicester, 10th and 11th. What else am I doing? Can't remember. Can you think of anything?
No.
We're going to try and do some more live stuff.
Yeah,
we've
got our live show on the 22nd of June. We've already spoken about that at quite great length.
Yeah.
Just before we do Loves and Loads,
yes,
shall we go over the MILF Manifesto?
Yeah, go on then.
Okie dokie.
Well, we're going to read it out.
Yeah, we'll read it out.
So the MILF Manifesto, guys, this is something, it's basically like the Ten Commandments, but more important and also critically real.
Yeah.
this is something that we're going to use in the future to bring people together, to bring parents together. It's going to be our kind of, like our call to arms, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Our call to arms.
This is what matters to us.
Yes.
So.
The MILF Manifesto.
Number one, and this is the most important one.
Most important.
Thou shalt never judge another mother. Yeah. And I think that one is pretty self-explanatory.
Of course it is, yeah.
Number two, thou shalt offer help where you can and accept help where you need it.
Yeah, so true.
At first it was just offering help, but I think accepting help when it's offered is just as important.
Yeah, I really struggle with that. Yeah, very true.
And number three is thou shalt mind your own fucking business.
That's my favourite of all. This is for like, mainly for like old men who watch your children screaming in the shopping.
And tut.
And tut, yeah. That's for those people.
I mean, I think it's quite hypocritical because me and you are incapable of minding our own business. But we don't broadcast those.
Yeah, like I'm, yeah, exactly. We're not judging with our nosiness.
Yeah, we just need to know every single piece of information.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not, we're not going to let other people, like, we're not going to ruin other people's day with it.
No. Number four, thou shalt not brag about how much sleep you're getting.
Oh my God, never, ever. If you are, even if you don't have kids or your kids are grown up and you're with someone that has a small child, please don't mention how well rested you are. Ever.
No.
Never
no.
mention it.
You can whinge about how little sleep you get in to your heart's content, but if you're getting enough sleep,
don't mention it.
No one needs to hear about it.
We don't
it.
Need to hear about it at all. No.
Thou shalt not, number five, thou shalt not voice your opinion on how others feed their children.
Oh, this is a big one, isn't it? This is a big one. And we're talking throughout all ages as well. We're not just talking like feeding babies. We're talking all food.
Yeah.
All food. I don't want...
My child eats couscous and baba ganoush.
I don't care. I still really think so often about that meme, which is a picture of like a double slide that moves into one slide and there's like a kid going down it, and on one side it says breastfeeding, one side it says bottle feeding, and then at the bottom of the slide where they join, it just says picking up McDonald's fries off the car floor. Like, at some point, I don't care. I don't care if your kid's vegan or whatever. Like, all of them are going to be, like, smashing chicken nuggets into their mouths at some point.
I mean, when they're 16, they'll all be drinking the same Strongbow dark fruit, like, on the park.
Yeah, they're all going to be drinking toxic alcoholic liquid when they're older in some capacity. And also, they're going to be adults that make choices about their own food.
Yeah.
Like, it's all right. I saw a clip from this morning where they were interviewing Jamie Oliver, and someone had written in to sort of say, I really need help feeding my kids more vegetables. I'm really worried because I don't feel like they're really fussy eaters and all of that. And I thought Jamie Oliver, and I really like Jamie Oliver, and I love what he's done for, like, schools and stuff with eating. And I really do like the way he talks about eating. I saw his TED talk that he did years ago about the amount of sugar in food, and I really like him. I know a lot of people hate him. But I thought he was going to start talking about how to get more vegetables into kids' diets.
Yeah.
And he did a little bit, but the main thing he kept saying was, like, you're trying your best, and that's the main thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, that's really important. Because he could have just gone on a big rant about what to do to make your kids not fussy eaters, but actually what he was saying was, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're doing your best.
That brings us on quite nicely to number six, which is, thou shalt just try.
Thanks, Jamie Oliver.
As Jamie Oliver says.
Just
I think you can't go far wrong if your intentions are good.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're trying to do the right thing, that's all you can do.
If you're nonplussed and really sort of like not
nonchalant
about it all, then shit might go wrong. But if you're trying, you don't need to hold any guilt.
No.
If you're trying your best. We're just trying.
Yeah, and you don't even have to be trying your best all the time.
We're just trying. I mean, I'm trying to form sentences and failing, but at least I'm trying, Sinead.
Exactly. Number seven, thou shalt not let one tantrum ruin your week, even if it's your own.
It's usually mine.
Yeah, it's usually mine.
It's usually my kid's tantrum leading me to have a tantrum.
Triggers your own tantrum.
And then I feel guilty about my tantrum. That's usually the way it goes, but you're so right. I think at the end of each day, it doesn't matter how bad it's got, it doesn't matter how bad the tantrums get, it doesn't matter how loud the screaming is.
Got to draw a line under
Got
it.
Got to draw a line,
you?
Give yourself a break. Like, kids have tantrums. They push our buttons.
Adults have tantrums. And that's fine.
Totally fine.
Number eight, thou shalt celebrate the little wins, no matter how little.
So true.
If you've gone a day without whispering, for fuck's sake, under your breath.
If you've gone an hour
without
whispering, for fuck's sake, you're doing all right.
You're doing fine.
Yeah. I think those two, so what numbers were they?
Seven
and eight work quite well together, because what I'll tend to find is if I have a day where there's been tantrums and I've been really unforgiving with myself, it's actually the little wins that help you recover from that, because you go, well, hey, hang on, we had all of this shit, it was like an absolute shit show of shit all day, toys flying through the air, crying, screaming, hitting, I'm going to throw it, but then at the end of that you can say, hey, but they both ate all their dinner, and they had.
And now they're asleep.
It's that. That's enough.
Yeah.
Or they ate some dinner, and they're asleep. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's really difficult to give ourselves grace.
Yeah.
Really difficult.
Really difficult.
And I think celebrating those little wins really helps kind of forgive yourself.
Yeah.
For a lot of the things that you perceive that you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
And number nine, thou shalt eat your own food and not just your kids' leftovers.
I think we need to tell people where that line came from, because last week when we were at Riverside, one of the things that happened, which I still think about, is that Sinead went to buy us both a Mr. Whippy. Sorry. Let me rephrase that. Sinead went to buy us both a Signor Whippy ice cream. So, standard cone, ice cream, raspberry sauce, flake.
Obviously, way to go with the Mr. Whippy.
Of course, every time. And we both had one each, and we got to eat the entirety of it ourselves. And we had a very lengthy discussion about the fact that I don't remember the last time I ate my own ice cream. Because I just buy the kids ice cream and I get their leftovers.
Yeah.
And never buy myself one. So,
this is telling you that you should.
I should just buy my own ice cream. No, because I wouldn't enjoy it, because I'd spend so much time dealing with them and their ice cream.
Yeah, that's true.
So, eat your own food. G- like let your have a Mr.
You
Whipping.
Deserve to have your own dinner.
You deserve to have your own dinner. You deserve to have your own snacks. You deserve your own Mr. Whippy when you go to the ice cream van. You don't just have to buy your kids ones and eat like the half of the cone.
The dregs.
The dregs and the melted bits. You have your flake to yourself, my friends.
Yes. And number 10. Thou shalt always remember that you're a person and not just a parent.
And this is what we were talking about earlier with MILF Mondays, isn't it? It's like you're allowed to have opinions on things. You're allowed to have hobbies. You're allowed to have passions.
You're allowed to put your own... You're allowed to put yourself in before your kids.
Yeah, of course.
You're allowed to
consider
yourself and what you need and what you want before...
Yeah.
Before the kids.
Yeah, and I think like that's not going to have a negative impact on your children. If you're just trying... And you're still, like, being present with your kids and you're doing stuff for them. You're keeping them alive. You're looking after them. You're doing all of those things. You're allowed to put yourself first because that's only going to be a really good example to them.
Yeah.
Because when they grow up, we don't want them to sort of think of their lives as just being, like, a slave to capitalism and all of that. They want to see parents that enjoy their lives and enjoy their passions and making that work for them and making them happy and content. And then they're going to follow suit. And then they're going to be happy individuals, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes total sense. So being selfish, it's not even being selfish, but like having a bit of that kind of selfishness towards like your cares and wants and needs can only work favourably to your children, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And get them involved. This is what I try and do. Like if I'm feeling really guilty about working really, if I'm working too hard and I feel like I'm not being very present because I'm like there doing work but not paying attention to them, if I then get them involved in doing it, it relieves the guilt for me. They're learning something. I'm still getting fucking work done.
Yeah.
Win-win, right? Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, your like passion is like skydiving, in which case maybe check out a different MILF manifesto. Because I don't think we can...
And that brings us neatly around to loves and loads of the week.
Loves and loads of the week.
Can I do my love first?
Please do.
My love of the week this week, and my love of the week every week is Bitsy's.
Oh, yeah!
So, lovely Bitsy posted a video last weekend basically saying that she'd been put in a bit of a sticky situation and needed to raise $5,000 to be able to take over the lease for her building. Mm-hmm. Now, Bitsy's fueled us for the first few months of this podcast. There are so many podcasts where we are acting completely unhinged because we're on such a sugar high from Bitsy's brownies.
But if we didn't eat Bitsy's brownies, we'd be asleep and we wouldn't be recording.
Yeah, that is true.
It got us through.
But she posted that and within 24 hours she'd hit her goal.
Yeah. And because so many people believe in her establishment and care about her business.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That really kind of highlighted to me how important community is and how much... Like, we have a ready-made community of absolutely incredible people in this city.
Yeah.
And people who really are passionate and really do care and want to see businesses and different ventures do really well. And I just thought that was, like, incredible to see in action.
Yeah.
To see that number on the GoFundMe climb every time I refresh the page was absolutely amazing. And I couldn't be happier for Bitsy to have hit that goal so quickly and to be able to even extend that as well and kind of branch out into being more of like a community space.
But having said that, she's still going to need loads of help.
Yeah.
So that's why we're here to say, well, watch this space.
Watch this space.
If you want to be part of this community, then there will be ample opportunities for you to help out very soon.
Yes.
I think. Go to Bitsy's and buy her cake, man. It's the best.
Yeah, coffee's great.
Coffee's great.
Cheese toasties are insane.
Oh, so good. It's the best of the best. I love it. Yeah, amazing. Such an amazing space. George Clark's Amazing Spaces. I can't say Amazing Space without saying it, thinking it in a Geordie accent. But great shout. That's a good love.
Yeah, what's your love of the week?
So my love of the week is children's sort of subconscious mind when they're asleep in the morning.
Yeah.
What I can't wrap my head around, and I mean, it's not, I guess it's not just, it is a love because it's just confounds me.
Yeah.
So when kids are asleep, right? And they usually wake up around the same time in the morning, right? But for both of my children, and I'm sure you can agree with me here, they can be woken up some of the time.
Yeah.
And what I can't understand, and this is why it's my love of the week, is on one day, they can be woken up by the sound of me opening my concealer.
Yeah.
Or the opposite can be true. So this morning, Ramona was asleep, Lola was awake, the dog was jumping up on Ramona's bed, Lola was going in and out of her room going, Ramona, 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 and then coming back out, sitting on my knee, opening the stair gate, I need a wee wee, going downstairs, having a wee wee, pouring the wee down the toilet, flush the toilet. I think I've made a coffee with our very loud coffee machine that goes when you press the button. All of that's going on. Ramona didn't wake up, slept through the whole thing. So what I love about kids and their sort of sleep routines is, I'm presuming it's subconscious. They have sort of have this subconscious decision where it's like one day they'll hear like a leaf dropping on the driveway. It's morning. I'm going to get up and wake mummy and daddy up. And then some mornings it could be, you could be in Rio de Janeiro and you could be in the middle of their parade and ain't no kid waking. I don't understand it.
The thing that kills me about Darcy being asleep particularly is that she often takes a while to get off to sleep.
Yes.
But you can tell that she is in a really deep sleep because she looks like she is dead. Like all the like when she's fast asleep, she goes really, really cold to the touch.
Oh my god! So she like lit. She's like one of those animals,
and sort of all the colour drains from her face.
It's like she's able to sort of freeze her own blood to conserve the energy while she's asleep.
It's so funny. I'm going to check on her, and she's like ghostly pale. Yeah. And I touch her forehead, and she's like she's been chilling in a morgue for a week.
But you just check, there's still a heartbeat.
And check her pulse. I have to like look at, really check to see if she's breathing.
Yeah.
And it's something that she's done ever since she was a small baby.
God. She just, that's it, she's
out. Has she got like, is this the next step of evolution? Will she live to be 1,000 because she can chill her own blood?
Yeah. She doesn't need to be cryogenically frozen. She's racking that up. So she's just going to live to like 200 because every single night she's conserving that much energy.
Yeah.
She's just not going to age. She's going to be like Dorian Gray, but without the picture.
Yeah. And it's like, I can tell the nights that she's not sleeping so soundly because
she looks alive.
Well, yeah, I'll go in and she'll have like flushed cheeks and she'll be sweating.
Yeah. So weird. I wonder when it is that you learn or sort of unlearn how to sleep, I guess. Because like for me, anything will wake me up. Doesn't matter what time it is, I will wake up. But clearly for my kids, it is totally dependent on, like, I don't know, their mood, how well they've slept, what is it that's making them wake up or not wake up?
It's so variable.
That's what I can't wrap my head around.
Because some weeks Darcy will be awake by 6 o'clock every morning. Yeah. This week I've had to go in at 8:10 to wake her up every single day.
There are days where I have shut my my like powder, like makeup powder box. You know, it's like a round box and it's a snap shut. There's days where I've clicked that shut and it's gone click, and then Ramona's gone, mummy, and I'm like, how? I'm not even. By the way, I'm not doing my makeup in her room. I'm doing my makeup in an entirely different room, and just the tiny click of my powder has woken her from her slumber. And then there are days when we've
using power tools in her bedroom.
I've hoovered the lounge and she's still asleep. I'm like, what is it with you and sounds? Like, what's going on? Wild. So that's my love of the week.
What's your loathe of the week?
So my loathe of the week is obviously Nigel Farage.
Oh.
He's my loathe of the week most weeks. But this particular week...
A rancid little toad.
Particularly this week, because he had a milkshake thrown at him, which was amazing. But for me, this was illustrated by Hassan Akkad, who I think I recognise him from a documentary. He was like a refugee from Syria, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's become quite famous because he's a massive sort of campaigner.
Activist.
Great guy. But he posted something quite interesting and it just kind of floored me when I read it, which was this. So the girl, Victoria Thomas Bowen, who threw the milkshake, was charged by the police
With what?
Assault by beating and criminal damage. So she's been charged by the police. And Hassan Akad put in his caption of this story, "In England, it takes one day to charge a woman for throwing a milkshake at a man, while under 1% of reported rapes lead to a conviction." And I think that speaks volumes about the current state of our politics, does it not?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
She threw a milkshake at him.
And upsetting.
It's so upsetting. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable.
Lola threw a milkshake at herself.
Yeah. No one's locked her up.
Unfortunately.
I mean, shame. I wouldn't be complaining if they'd taken her away. It's rotten. Rotten to the core. And I just like to make it very clear that I would like to make sure that everybody's listening to us the week of the Jenny Lek.
Yeah.
Because we're going to, you know, we'll go all in, won't we?
We will.
And make sure you register to vote, everybody.
Yes, please, please, please register to
register vote. Register to vote. And most importantly, don't vote Tory. I think that's easy as
vote
that, right?
Vote for whoever the fuck you want, as long as it's not Reform or Tory.
Or Tory. Everything else is fine. I'm okay with it. What's your loathe of the week?
My loathe of the week is summer holidays childcare.
Yes, really confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very confusing.
So, I think I can speak for most parents when I say that the amount of holiday that you can take, and most parents who are employed, that is, the amount of holiday you can take is obviously never going to be equal to the amount of holiday your children have from school.
No, because they get, what, half of the year off?
Yeah. So, and especially as a single parent, maybe a couple could balance it, you know?
I know there's definitely people that do. There are, but I think the problem with that is if you do it in such a way where you take holiday to sort of, if you take holiday from work to look after your kids, is then you don't get a holiday.
Yeah.
And I know, like, well, I don't know, should holidays be classed as a luxury?
I mean, they
are.
They are a luxury.
They are a luxury, but I do think that it's like everyone should be entitled to a break of some sort.
Yeah.
And if you do it that way, if you're taking time off.
And if you're balancing it with your partner as well. You don't get time with your partner, you don't get time as a family, together.
No.
And as a single parent, it's particularly difficult. And like, I'm coming from an incredibly privileged position where I have ready access to several people who are more than happy to look after my child.
And you're still struggling.
And I'm still struggling.
It's insane.
So this year, and the reason why this is my loathe of the week this week is because I received the letter from my school that tells you about the holiday club for the summer holidays. And this year I'm super lucky. Darcy's going to Ireland for 2 weeks to stay with her godmother. And then I'm going for a week with her and we're going to spend that time together.
Nice.
That's 3 weeks of the summer holidays. Mm-hmm. The holiday club at her school, and bear in mind, I don't drive, so there's only one other holiday club that I could feasibly get her to, which is maybe a 20-minute walk for me, but like half an hour if I've got Darcy with me.
Yeah.
That is, I think, £22 a day.
Yeah.
But the one at school is like 70 quid a week. First issue is it only runs from 9 till 3.
Yeah. Yeah, ours is 9 till 3.
Which does fuck all for parents that work full-time. There is no easily accessible full-time childcare that is in any way affordable that I can access.
No, it's
number two, the one at Darcy's school, just around the corner from my house, they're running it for 3 weeks over the summer holidays.
Ah, okay.
You know those holidays where they're off for 6 weeks?
Yeah.
They're running it for 3 of those weeks.
3 of those weeks, and there's nothing else.
Nothing else. There's the one that I mentioned is like a 20-30 minute walk away. That's running all summer. Mm. But to send her for a week to that is like, what, 20, say for argument's sake.
Well, it's £100.
Like £100 and probably £150 by the time all's said and done.
Yeah.
A week.
Also, I'm just thinking about like the sort of summer club setup, right? There is a massive shortage in teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also like a lot of young people who are trying to get into work. So I'm just thinking about like my brother who's just graduated, and the sort of job he wants to go into would be sort of like sports coaching for young people and things like that. There are a lot of people like him who are willing to work, but they've just sort of graduated or they're sort of in kind of like part-time education and they need work, they need paid work. Surely, is this not a gap in the market? Like, can they not just, it feels like to me, the whole country just needs a bit of a level up in out-of-school care.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there just needs to be a massive step up where there's way more stuff readily available that's more affordable because there's enough people doing it.
Yeah.
And there's enough need for it. There's clearly need for it. And, yeah. Like, why can't summer clubs be run by people like my brother who need work? It's guaranteed work every single summer.
Mm-hmm.
Longer hours, more affordable, more people will do it.
Yeah. Because it really makes me sad because who does that responsibility fall on? You know, the person that has to, like, MacGyver together, like, a patchwork of childcare over the summer holidays. It's very rarely the dad that's sitting there with the spreadsheet or sitting there with the notebook thinking, well, if I take this leave and you take this leave and then we send the kid to grandma's here and they go to school club there and then we go on holiday for a week, then we might just be able to make it through, but we're going to have to pay, like, £500 a month to do so. It's very rarely the dad that has to take that responsibility. And there are mums up and down the country that are trying desperately to stretch out too little leave and too little money over too long of a period of time.
What you just described is, like, I would say most people going into a summer holiday, most parents going into a summer holiday, that kind of dialogue of, like, we'll try and do this, this person can look after this, that, like, everyone seems to be struggling to get through the summer holidays. I don't remember that being a thing growing up. We didn't have summer clubs to go. I didn't go to summer club, but it's because, like, income-wise, financially, it was totally normal for one parent to go to work and the other parent to look after the kid, and then you go on holiday at some point during the summer holidays, and that was that. Everyone was happy. That just doesn't happen anymore.
Well, in my situation, my mum's parents lived in Ireland and had both retired.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
So we get shipped over there, we'd stay for the whole summer,
yeah.
And my parents both still work full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my parents work full time. It's really, really difficult, but there's just
nothing being done.
There's nothing changing. Nothing has changed to help us to make it better.
Well, I saw a really interesting video about why women enter the why women have the menopause. We're, like, one of the only species that can't reproduce up until we die.
Ah.
And that, like, theoretically, the reason for that is because of the importance of grandmothers, specifically.
Oh, wow. That's wild. So I've never even thought of that.
There comes a time where you can't have any more children because
you've got,
in terms of evolution, you've got all that wisdom, all that knowledge to pass down to your children who will be having children. Because if you look at, like, the timeline
makes sense.
Of when women typically start to be of childbearing age, and when women hit the menopause, it's kind of like equidistant, right?
Where did you read this?
I'll find the video and send it to you.
Sounds really fascinating. God, I've never even thought of that before. That's cool.
And, like, where women would have been retired, but if they worked at all, they would be retired by the time their kids started having kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not in a position to do that anymore.
No, it just doesn't happen.
Like, we're not in a position where, for the vast majority of families, you can survive on one income.
Oh, yeah, impossible.
One normal income.
Yeah.
Like, my mum's parents, my granddad was a lorry driver,
mm-hmm.
and he could very comfortably raise a family. His wife and two children.
Yeah.
Comfortably.
Yeah.
They went on a holiday.
Yeah.
They always had the latest clothes. Mm-hmm. They had two cars.
Yeah.
And then my granny did work when my mum and her sister were a bit older. But, like, for most of their life, my granddad could afford to raise them.
Yeah.
And my nana, my dad's mum, she never was in a position where she had to have a job.
Yeah.
Any work that she did was her choice. It was her choice to just go and get a bit of pocket money.
Yeah.
Like, we're so far from that situation now.
I can't believe, like, if I look at kind of Dave's wage is on paper really good. Like, really, really good. And I was thinking about, like, you know, I love a car boot, right? I love a car boot. It's just, I've been brought up on them. But I was thinking, actually, like, one of the reasons that I buy secondhand clothes is because I can't afford new clothes. I can't afford to buy new clothes for my kids all the time. Mm. If it's like on a special occasion, right? But like, we can't afford to buy new stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I know it's okay to not buy new stuff all the time, obviously.
In fact, it's better.
It's better. But like on paper, you'd think I'd be able to go to Next and buy my kids clothes from Next. But it just doesn't work like that. Because we're so far from, like, just being able to live comfortably on a normal, just like a normal job, normal wage, living normally. None of us can do it. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And it's not like we're asking to go on a 5-star holiday to the Maldives
twice a year. No one's asking that.
We're like, please let us go to the Estoril for 1 week.
All we want is a week to go away and for our kids to be, like, happy and looked after by someone without us having to pay, like, use all of our extra money to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking.
Yeah, and, like, if I didn't live with my parents, the quality of life that I would be able to afford for me and Darcy would be horrific.
Yeah. You'd be under the poverty line, I reckon, wouldn't you?
Way under. And I don't earn, like, I earn fairly decent money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially for, like, for where we live in the context of, like, you know, I don't live in London, so I'm not earning London wages, but, like, comparably to a lot of single mums.
Again, on paper, you're doing right.
On paper.
Doing fine.
I should be earning.
But if you weren't in this house, you would be really struggling.
Yeah.
And that is not fair, is it? It's not fair.
Yeah, if I wasn't in this house, I don't think I would be able to consistently put food on the table.
Yeah, you would you'd be looking at possibly sort of housing association situation.
I wouldn't be able to afford privately rent.
No.
I'd be probably on the list for a council house.
Yeah.
And we just got incredibly lucky that my parents, A, have the space, mm-hmm. because a lot of parents would love to be able to, you know, support their children and grandchildren in that way.
But they just wouldn't
have the space.
Yeah.
But my parents, luckily, have the space and have the willingness to have us.
Yeah. What's so sad is, like, we often talk about this on this podcast, about how privileged we are. And the fact that we can say we're very privileged and yet.
Yeah.
And yet, like, it's not, like, we're not rich. We should be. Based on everything, if you wrote a list, people go, oh, you guys must be quite rich then. And yet here we are going, like, it's just really sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, really sad. I'm not complaining at all. Like, I mean, I'm complaining about the system. I'm not complaining about my situation because the system is so bad, it's so badly constructed that I can't imagine how hard it must be for a lot of families who should be on paper doing fine and we're not. It's really, really sad.
And sometimes it does make me feel like, not feel like a failure, but it makes me feel a certain way because I'm aware that me and Darcy only have the life that we have, like, by the grace of my parents.
Right,
like, I wouldn't be able to support her on my own. And that's when a lot of people would kind of be like, well, if you can't afford to have children, you shouldn't be having them. And I just want to say, fuck you, that's a eugenicist take.
Yeah. It's just...
There is no world in which only rich people should be allowed to have children.
No.
Because you know what happens when only rich people have children? People like Rishi Bastard Sunak get to be Prime Minister.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And on that note,
I think that's a really good place to end, isn't it?
Thank you for listening.
We're going to go away and just be a bit more angry about some stuff. Register to vote, everybody.
Yes, please.
Also on that rant, register to vote. Make sure your vote counts, please.
Next week, you will get to listen to our first episode in which we are hosting a guest, which is the lovely Connie from Take On Media. So
Woo-hoo!
Make sure you follow her at Take On Media UK on Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram at Amateur Mill Society. And
buy, not buy, book for free.
Tickets for free
to our live show on the 22nd of June.
Link in bio.
Yeah, all that business.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.